You've reached the Every Little Thing helpline for your high adrenaline questions about extreme high-octane pastimes.
Good evening, good evening. My name is Maiko, and I'm super perplexed on puzzles. Each piece looks so unique. I wonder how puzzles are made, and I wonder if I could ever become a puzzle maker. And tell me more.
Hello.
Hey, Maiko, it's Flora from ELT.
Hey, Flora, how's it going?
Good. How has your PPTPD increased since March?
Can you elaborate?
Your puzzles put together per day.
I definitely don't puzzle every day. I just ponder puzzles every day.
So your PPPD is up. Your puzzles pondered per day.
Boom. Yeah.
Tell me about the last great puzzle you did.
Okay, so it's this beautiful 1,500-piece puzzle of two rock faces with a sunset and a waterfall, and it's all overlooking this epic meadow with a moose. And my partner and I, we knocked it out, no problem.
What's the feeling that you get when you've completed a puzzle?
Oh, elation.
Really? Elation?
Yeah.
I feel like if you get elation out of puzzles, like, you should never skydive.
I don't think I ever had planned to.
You know your limits.
Yeah, I like the ground.
Okay, so Maiko, I think we found just the person to put the to give you the facts on puzzles.
Hey, Maiko. My name is Thomas Kepler. I'm actually the president here at Ravensburger North America.
Have you heard of Ravensburger?
No.
We design about 1,000 puzzles a year, give or take. And we produce about 20 million a year globally.
Dang!
I know. It's one of the most popular puzzle brands in the world.
Ooh.
So Thomas is the perfect anchor piece for this episode. He found his slot in the puzzle business as a teenager.
So I'm, as you can probably hear from my accent, I'm originally born in Germany. And I'm a true local. So I was born in Ravensburg, which is the city where Ravensburger is located. And as I was going to college, I used to work in the Ravensburger factory during my winter breaks. You know, one season I was a forklift driver. And I also worked the assembly line for a couple of weeks where we put products into boxes. So I've pretty much seen it all. And I'm still here.
How many years has it been?
Actually, it was, looking at the calendar here, it was 31 years just a couple days ago.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you.
Live in the dream. All right. So here's a question. Has production ceased since COVID?
Just the opposite.
The demand for puzzles right now is the only way of like accurately describing that is the demand is infinite.
Have you ever seen anything like it?
No, never ever.
Wow.
It's like when you look at keyword searches online, puzzles right now pretty much rank in the same league with hand sanitizers, face masks, and things like that.
Wow. Wow.
Yes, that's the scale of demand that we're looking at.
That's radical.
People are puzzling and chilling.
Mm.
So you're not alone with your jigsaw mania. The puzz buzz is for us. All right, should we get to your question about how puzzles are made?
Yeah.
All right, so first step, you have to choose the image. And Ravensburger has different strategies. They monitor Instagram for trends. They conduct focus groups. But Thomas said if you're in the puzzle business long enough, you have an instinct for what's going to pop.
I certainly do. So does my team.
Like Thomas can see 1,000 pieces and know exactly which one should get cut into 1,000 pieces.
A good image for a puzzle is something that first and foremost transports you into that magic place. You know, that might be a beach scene. It might be a cozy scene in front of a fireplace. A cat or a dog in the image, And anything, you know, that transports you to that magic place, very relaxing, and you're kind of feeling like you're part of that scene.
Have you ever had any flops? Like things that you thought would work, but then didn't?
We frequently do, I have to admit. For example, food images on Instagram is still a very big trend. So we created a line of food puzzles, feeling that this was a big trend. And that just isn't working. With the exception of desserts, interestingly enough.
Desserts?
Yes, desserts work. Entrees do not.
So once they settle on the perfect image of a baked Alaska in front of the fireplace, the puzzle goes into production. And the manufacturing process is weirdly fascinating.
Please tell me.
Let's start with the puzzle pieces. Where do those shapes come from?
In our case, we have tool makers whose main job is to kind of draw every single puzzle piece, take a 1,000-piece puzzle. They draw it by hand, every single piece.
That's okay. Somebody is drawing this out.
Yes. Every time you pick up a Ravensburger puzzle piece, you are holding a shape that a human being in a Ravensburger factory drew by hand.
And it's all done to avoid frustration on the puzzler side. So that's exactly the reason why every single piece is different.
Thomas says that human freehand drawing assures that each piece is as unique as a snowflake.
That is awesome.
Perhaps one of the snowflakes in the Winter Wolves 2019 2,000-piece Ravensburger puzzle.
Isn't it amazing to know that the human hand will never become obsolete in the puzzle world?
So after they have the shapes, they have to cut them.
So think about puzzle making almost like cookie cutting.
You know how a regular cookie cutter is just a thin piece of metal folded into the shape of a snowman or whatever?
Yeah.
So this is the same idea, except they bend that metal into the shape of a puzzle.
Okay.
And not just the perimeter. I'm talking about every nook and cranny of every single piece.
I see it now. The pieces are coming together.
And those cookie cutters get a lot of action.
So like in a busy day in the factory, we kind of go through, let's say, 100,000 puzzles easy. A typical tool lasts about that long and then it needs to be resharpened. So like, you know, you can resharpen them two or three times and then you have to discard them and then you have to build a new one.
It's like almost like you're in the cookie cutter business and the puzzle business.
Yes.
So after they have the cookie cutters, the raw material, the unprocessed, 100% pure, uncut, laminated cardboard tableau of ducks or cats wearing monocles gets sent down the assembly line and then sliced into 1,000 pieces.
Okay.
And in a picture-perfect puzzle factory world, each one of those pieces gets sucked into a vacuum-sealed bag and stuffed into a box you'll awkwardly try to stand up on your kitchen table. But occasionally, things fall apart. Picture a factory churning out 100,000 puzzles a day. People are bustling around, machines are moving, and then someone glances at the ground and sees a puzzle piece.
Dun, dun, dun.
This is not a laughing matter for a puzzle factory.
There's an alarm that goes off.
Really?
Yes, immediately. That's the biggest problem of all. So like, you know, the minute you see puzzle pieces on the floor in a puzzle making factory, you kind of have to stop the machinery. That's not a good thing to see because obviously something is going terribly wrong.
How often does it happen?
Actually, very rarely. The failure rate on puzzles is less than 0.001%. Now, usually what's being done every half hour or so, a puzzle is being pulled off the line. And then some employees sit down and actually put that puzzle together, believe it or not, to make sure that all the pieces are there. So that's kind of the spot checking.
Wait. Is there a person whose job it is to put the puzzles together?
A couple people, yes.
Are they really fast? Are they like excellent at it? Or does it take a long time?
It doesn't. Well, it depends on what size of puzzle you're talking about. In some cases, it takes a little longer, but naturally speaking, they're really fast.
Wow. There is a position for master puzzlers.
Yes.
Interesting.
How do they apply? Like, how do they get the job?
Well, I guess it's almost like you fall into this type of thing. Like lots of people work in the factory, and you know, when you're good at something, usually like, you know, talents get discovered. So it's not really something that people, that there is a specific job description for. But you know, when you work there and you have a knack for this, this is what you're going to be doing.
People are getting a lot of practice these days. You're going to be getting a lot of good applications.
Yes.
We did a show a couple weeks ago with essential workers, and we talked to a pizza delivery guy, and he said it was really weird for him because, you know, obviously it's a scary time and this is a crisis, but he was benefiting in the sense that he got really good tips and he had more work, and he felt very conflicted about that. I'm wondering if you have to deal with that same feeling.
Absolutely, and wholeheartedly. It's exactly the same feeling. So you're very conflicted in the sense of, you know, feeling lucky that you have a job and in a business that's currently going really well. And at the same time, you know, talking to all my friends and a lot of my neighbors that have lost their jobs, you get the sinking feeling that, you know, this is very different for lots of other people. But ultimately, you know, I'm looking at this from a perspective of saying people obviously have a need for puzzles right now. Families are home, people are home, they've got nowhere to go. And with all this barrage of mostly bad news, they're looking for a place to escape. And helping people to relax and helping relieve anxiety is feeling like it's a good thing to do.
I would say that puzzles can really transport you into a place of joy.
Maiko, thanks for the question.
I dig it.
After the break, clearing the air on a Texas terror. When do you see them?
Usually at night, like when the sun's setting. It just weirds me out how many there are and what are they doing? I want to know, like, how do they all know to go there and what are they?
Hi, Flora. This is Amanda, and every day on my way home, there's thousands of blackbirds on the power lines on one side of the street, but not the other side. I want to know what they're doing, why they're there, where do they go when they're done, and why is it the same spot every single day? I have to know.
Hello?
Hey, Amanda. It's Flora from ELT.
Hello.
So you called back in a time when people would leave the house and then return to it.
That is true. When life was normal-ish.
So where am I finding you?
I am in San Antonio, Texas.
And you called about these mysterious blackbirds.
Yep.
When do you see them?
Usually at night, like when the sun's setting. Close to the intersection, they're always there at the same time. They all sit on the power lines and they're all chirping and flying, and it just weirds me out how many there are, and it's like they're meeting. They're having like a meeting.
It's like a bird convention at the same exact location. It's
exactly like a bird convention. My sister and I have a theory that either they're at church or it's happy hour. You know, one time I was with my son, he's 6 years old, and he was kind of talking back, and I pretended like I was going to open the window and let the birds take him. That's how many birds there are.
Was he scared?
Oh, he started screaming. But
parenting tip.
There you go. Number one, scare your kids.
What do you want to know?
I just want to know, what is it that makes them all come to that one spot at the same time, in the same spot every day? Are they families or like, what are they?
What are they?
I would say that there's probably no doubt that they are the great-tailed grackle.
The great-tailed grackle is your bird, and Judith Bailey is our great-tailed grackle expert.
Hi, Amanda.
Hello.
I think you're a fellow Texan.
Judith is a birder with the Audubon Society in Austin.
I started birding as a child. My mother and my grandmother all watched birds, but it's just been lately, this last part of my life, that I've just sort of lost my mind for birds.
So great-tailed grackles aren't ordinary birds. You hit on a celebrity.
Oh.
You've seen them. You've heard them.
Thousands of grackles are taking over Houston again.
People could get attacked on the streets.
These purple-black birds are not shy about dive bombing. They'll get downright rude about...
Your son is right to be screaming.
Oh my gosh.
They are known as devil birds, as taco raptors.
Oh my gosh.
They're like terrifying Hitchcockian YouTube videos of grackles taking over parking lots. I gotta send you one.
Okay. Okay, I got it. Oh my gosh. It is a swarm. This is exactly what I'm talking... Oh my gosh.
It's like 1,000 of them in a parking lot.
Yes. This girl, the girl running.
There's a woman running for shelter.
That's how I feel when I'm in the car with them. This is what my life is like. Creeps me out.
If you need to discipline your six-year-old, you can use this video anytime. This one's on me.
Okay, great. No, I can't wait. I'm going to put that in my pocket.
Okay, so they are notorious, and it seems like they will chase you in a grocery store parking lot. But Judith, our expert, sees them in a different light.
They're bold, they're sassy, they are scrappy, and they are absolutely gorgeous. They're big birds. They're black, iridescent. They have a lemon yellow eye, and they have this great big black glossy bill. And their tail is so big, when you see them take off, you can't believe that they can really fly. They look like a 747. So they're really fun to watch.
I agree. They are fun to watch. I really enjoy watching them interact with each other. And I mean, what are they? Are they talking to each other?
Well, they definitely have a lot of calls.
They'll have alarm sounds that say, predator's coming, watch out.
Yep, I heard that one before.
You know, and then they'll also, they have a sound when they're going to dive bomb you. If you are close to a nest and they're protecting their nest, they let out this screeching sound.
They're very into protecting their families.
That's really cool.
So these bird conventions you see every night, you asked if it was church or happy hour. It seems more like happy hour.
Oh my gosh, then they are my kind of birds.
Judith says they're gathering in the evening after a long day of foraging, and it's not a random assortment of birds. Lots of them know each other.
They have large families and they stay together their entire lives. So, you know, it's sort of like they're all going home.
Okay, that makes me love them even more, as much as I'm with my family. We're always together, and if I could meet them every single night, I absolutely would. And so now I'm relating to these birds. Now, our group name on our chat, we call it the girls, but now I'm calling us the grackles.
They stick together.
I mean, now I can't be mad when they swoop down, because I would do that for my sisters.
Well, I feel like, you know, ELT always has the flamingo, but I don't know. I can kind of see the appeal of the grackle.
I mean, everyone looks good in black.
Hi, I'm Danielle. I'm from St. Louis. I'm a regional nurse manager. And right now, during this COVID-19 pandemic, I'm grateful for the nurses that I manage. Without them, I think I would be losing my mind.
This is a shout out. I work at a small hospital. I'm an ICU nurse. Some of my fellow ICU nurses have volunteered to go to the separate unit that we have set up for COVID-19 patients to protect everyone. These nurses, they are the heroes.
I just wanted to thank my sister, who is a hospice nurse, for going out and visiting her patients. So I just want to thank Haley for doing what she does.
If you have a shout out or a question we can help you answer, give us a call. 833-RING-ELT. 833-RING-ELT.
Every Little Thing is produced by Emily Foreman, Phoebe Flanagan, Annette Heist, and Flora Lichtman, with help from Nicole Pasulka and Doug Barron. Our consulting editors are Caitlin Kenny and Jorge Just. Scored by Dara Hirsch and Emma Munger. Mixed by Dara Hirsch. I'm a Grackleite. Goodbye.